Our words today on Words and Music come from B.J. Barham. As I said, I wanted to share my conversation with him. He's the frontman and songwriter for American Aquarium. And he went to a deserted North Carolina beach town in the middle of winter to write his new album, Chickamaucomico. We'll find out the significance of that name during the conversation. We'll also hear the title song, which is about a miscarriage that he and his wife experienced 6 years ago now. It took him this long to be able to write and speak about it. We started our conversation with my telling BJ that when he and I spoke about his previous album, Lamentations, that was a character bearing his soul, and it was someone he knew and someone he cared about. And I said, but this in Chickamaucomico is you sharing your depths with us. And I wondered how much you thought about that when you sat down to write the songs that I'm going to have people I don't know see into my personal life.
Yeah, Lamentations was definitely an exercise in narrative songwriting. I think you nailed it. I included a little bit of myself in each one of those songs just so that it was still real for me. But it was very much being able to write outside of my own experience. Chickamaucomico is undeniably me. It's about some of the, probably the hardest 2 years of my life so far. Just dealing with losing people. My mother, my grandmother, losing a child, losing opportunity, losing time, losing friends. It was a hard record to write because, I dealt with those. Am I showing too much? Am I revealing too much? One of those too much information situations. But once I started playing these songs out and started seeing how the record was connecting with people, I found a lot of solace in the fact that writing about the loss was helping other people deal with the loss the same way that writing the songs in the first place helped me deal with the loss. So it's a lot easier to sing these songs every night knowing that you put words to someone's learning to work through that loss. It's one of the most rewarding things as a songwriter for someone to walk up to you after a show and say, that song helped me do this, or that song led me to do this, or that song got me through this. I don't think that there's any better feeling knowing that other people are using your way of processing it to process it themselves.
I know that you wrote it now because you needed a certain amount of time to pass before you could write it, but it happens to have also been a period where we've all lost so much. You talk about opportunity and loved ones. I think when you talk about people coming up to you and saying you helped them, your song came out at a perfect time for all of us.
Yeah, Chickamaucomico, that was the song that took me the longest to write. Me and my wife experienced a miscarriage 6 years ago, so it took almost 6 years to write. You know, it took 6 years to write a song about that, to find the words that I felt perfectly encapsulated that feeling. From the husband's side, I don't think I'll ever be ballsy enough to try to write from the female perspective on that because I'll never understand what that loss is like. But I do know what my side was like. I do know, understand the emotional loss, but the emotional loss was heavy. And if you're a couple and you're going through that, no one tells you how common it is. No one tells you that 50% of women will experience a miscarriage throughout their life. That's not something they tell you until after you've dealt with it, until after you're grieving, until after you're trying to find answers. So I wanted to write a song that kind of normalized it. I wanted to write a song, as a lot of my songs do, I like to bring those things out of the shadows, the things we don't like to talk about, the things that are uncomfortable to talk about. I like to drag those out of the shadows and into the light. It becomes a lot less scary when you can fully see it and realize that you're not the only person that has to deal with this. You're not cursed. You're not being punished. No one's to blame. No one is to shame. A lot of people go through this. And so writing that song was, am I revealing too much about my personal life? But immediately after that song came out, I posted an acoustic version of it on Instagram. Hundreds of messages from women, from men. I went through this too. And this song puts words to that experience that I couldn't put words to.
Did you feel any obligation to check with your wife first? Because you weren't just going to write the song, you were going to talk about it.
Of course. And that's the first person you check with. Anytime I've ever written a song about me and my wife's relationship, that's not public knowledge. It's always, she's the first one that hears any song I've ever written in the past I guess we've been together going on 12 years. So in the last 12 years, if there's a song that's been written, she gets to be the first person that gives me the either the wince or the, oh, wow, that's really good. And I told her up front, I was like, I think I'm going to, because I wrote that line, I swear I'm going to lose my mind if I have to hear about God's plan one more goddamn time. I wrote that line immediately after we went through that. And I sat on that one line for almost 5.5 years. It wasn't until years later that I wrote that second part. I'm just staring at the sky, begging for an excuse. I never knew hard until I took apart a room that never got used. When I wrote that line, that was when I took it to my wife. And she was like, whoa, that's heavy. That's going to fuck a lot of people up. And I was like, yeah, it will. But I think in a good way, I think that's a good thing. I think sometimes people need to feel that, because there's a lot of people that went through this 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago and still hadn't heard a song yet that helped them verbalize what they went through. And so I had to deal with that. A lot of people were like, man, me and my wife have put this behind us. And then we got your record. And the first song out of the gate, we had to pull the car over and start crying together. So my wife saw that very early on. Before the song was even finished, my wife saw the power in that song. My wife saw the power in talking about that song. She's incredible because she knew from the beginning that she was dating a songwriter. And she knew from the beginning that just about anything that went on in our personal life was up to be fodder for songs. I'm sure there's some stuff where she's like, are you sure you want to talk about this? And I'm like, yeah, because it helps me get through. It helps me grow as a person. It helps me grow as a songwriter.
The line about cursing the maker's name, and I'm going to lose my mind if I have to hear about God's plan one more goddamn time. Yeah. I remember last time we spoke, you told me that your dad was a deacon in the Baptist church. Yeah. And I wondered whether that line led to any discomfort with relatives.
The relatives that have disowned me for my ideological and religious beliefs, they left a long time ago. I ran them off years ago. Same goes for the fans that would hold theological and ideological views against me. People that tell me to shut up and sing or that I can't talk about God in that way. If you ever push back, it's either two things that happen. It's either I'm never listening to you again or supporting anything you do. I'm only going to listen to people that support what I believe. Or, man, that is a differing viewpoint than mine. I respect everything this guy said before. Maybe I'm going to give it a listen. He's not going to change my mind usually, but I can at least respect him for being strong enough in his convictions to stand up and talk about what he believes in. Like a lot of my other records, there's a lot of religious undertone. Even though I've been an agnostic person almost as much as I was a religious person. You know, I'm 38 now. I left the church when I was 17, 18 years old. So I've actually been a non-believer longer than I was a believer, but it still finds its way into my writing. A lot of my characters do find solace in a higher power. I don't know what that says about any underlying issues I have with the church. I think it's something to be researched more on my end, why all of my characters, when they're faced with these problems, do kind of look up at the sky and turn to that thing that we were all taught as kids.
The more you talk about it, the more I think Chickamacomico was the perfect title. Because on the one hand, you talk about it being a lost town. It doesn't have that name anymore. There's this water tower for a town that doesn't exist. But on the other hand, it was a life-saving station.
Yeah, that duality of that definitely went into the naming of the record. The record about loss, I thought it was very ironic that the town I wrote it in experienced an identity loss midway through the 1970s. It changed the entire name of the town. The only thing left there is this relic of a water tower that still says Chickamacomico and the oldest life-saving station in the country. Every day I'd go for a run and I'd see that water tower. And then in my head, I'm like, I'm staying in Rodanthe, North Carolina. I'm not staying in Chickamacomico. This is weird. So then you get on Google and you start doing the research and you start finding that life has a funny way of putting these things in your way. The random town that I decided to go to write this record, turns out it really helped shape the record and helped shape what the theme of the record was going to be.
That line you mentioned, I never knew hard until I took apart that room that never got used. And you talked about having, of course, lost this baby and also having lost your mother in the last couple of years. And that, from things I've read, was a more complicated relationship.
Yeah.
Is part of what's so hard with the miscarriage in some ways, is it harder to lose what you've never had, all the dreams and expectations?
They're both hard in very different ways. There should be two different words. Like a lot of languages have multiple words for the same word. It's two different kinds of hard. Anybody who's ever went through that experience of we're pregnant and the planning period, that expectation. Because as for me, it was I went from being just a married 30-some-year-old singer-songwriter to I'm going to be a dad. This is going to change my life in every aspect of my life. So there's this expectation that builds. There's this emotional, you start going through the changes of being a dad before you actually become the dad. The moment that the kids plopped in your hands, that's when the light switch goes off. I became a completely different human being at that hospital. The minute you hold a kid, it's real. There's a realness to it. Up until that, your emotions are just going through this preparation period. And so it's weird to have that preparation cut prematurely, because then you don't know what to do. The relationship with my mother, I was very lucky. I had my mother for 36 years of my life. That was something that I knew. That wasn't an expectation. That was a very real thing. Since the day I was born, she's been there. So that was a different kind of loss. Me and my mother had a very unique relationship. It was tumultuous at times, but it was always centered, especially toward the last probably 4 or 5 years of her life. She became a shell of who she used to be. She wasn't the same person. She was plagued with the same disease that I have, which was addiction. She was an addict. She was an opioid addict, pain pills. And so we watched her slowly turn into something she wasn't. And dementia started kicking in. She started fading. And so those are two very hard things to deal with on their own. But when you couple them, she turned into a different human being. But you still love them. They're still the physical manifestation of your mother. This is the person that brought you into the world. And as she always reminded me, she brought me into the world and she could also take me out of the world. That's how we got through our teenage years. But losing her was hard. I can't even begin to describe which one's harder, losing a child that you never knew or losing a mother that you knew your entire life.
With all the losses and the complicated relationships, it sounds like the healing that you write about in the song Chickamacomico is exactly the healing that you needed by going there. It's like you say in the song, let's head down to the shoreline and wash off all this blame.
Personally, I know what it's like to experience that shame, experience that blame, that wall that gets built between you and your partner. Whether or not you try to be as open and honest and communicate, there's this weird wall that gets built because somebody's blaming the other one and somebody's ashamed of what's going on. And somebody's thinking, what did we do to deserve this? Why are we being punished? Why does everyone around us seem to be having a family and we don't? It's a lot easier to write this song as I have my 4-year-old daughter running in and out of the room. We're extremely fortunate. We had one miscarriage. We waited 2 years. And then we were blessed with a healthy, vivacious baby girl. They're called rainbow babies for a reason. It's funny. My daughter's a rainbow baby and her birthday is National Unicorn Day. So she takes a lot of pride. She has no idea why the rainbow is so important, but she loves every year. It's rainbow colored unicorns. She's got all the stuffed animals and there's a reason they're called rainbow babies. There's that light after the storm. I'm very lucky. Just about in every aspect of my life, I was given a second chance. Band, relationships, recovery. I was given a second chance in just about every. The only thing I've never messed up is being a good dad. That's the one relationship that I've never even put into jeopardy. And it's the one relationship that I'm never going to put into jeopardy.
Pack up your bags, babe. We're going for a ride. No, I can't tell. Just won't end. Lord knows what we've been through. It's been the kind of year that damn near broke us clean in two. So let's head down to the shoreline and wash off all this blame. Swim out past the breakers just to curse the maker's name. Try to find that piece of us we lost all those years ago. Out on the sinking sands of Chickamauga. about God's plan one more goddamn time. I'm just staring at the sky, begging for an excuse. Yeah, I never knew hard until I took apart that room that never got used. So let's head down to the shoreline and wash off all this blame. Swim out past the breakers just to curse the maker's name and try to find that piece of us we lost all those years ago out on the sinking sands of Chickamauga. And I'll never pretend to know what you're going through. You ain't the only one who lost some that day. Honey, I lost it too. So let's head down to the shoreline and wash off all this blame. Swim out past the breakers just to curse the maker's name and try to find that piece of us we lost all those years ago out on the sinking sands of Chickamauga.
B.J. Barham, An American Aquarium, Chickamauga, title song from their new album, all on WMNF Tampa.